And welcome to part two
bang
of
your head against it there, Nick.
The bong. Pardon?
Sounds like you banged your head against Big Ben there.
That might have been me plugging my headphones into the laptop. My head is all right. Newsflash. I haven't bumped my head. I haven't done a George Bush and a pretzel. Did you see this story from about the Orthodox Russian church's head? Or the head of the Russian Orthodox
Going
Church.
To see the Queen?
Having some... Yeah, and saying that, there's going to be a war. But a war on terrorism.
Hey, aren't they always saying that?
yeah, but surely not coming from a supposedly pacifist, vicar. He's up for it.
Who?
Patriarch Kirill, who is like the Russian Orthodox Church.
Yeah,
I think hasn't Pope Francis been to see him as well? Or he was at the same meeting in London with the Queen. It was like maybe because she's the head of the Anglican Church, Pope's head of Catholic. He's the head of the Russians, and I think the Archbishop of Canterbury was there as well. So all the Jesus clan had a little get together. And want a war on terrorism? Sure. What is really that got to do with the church? Bottom line, I suppose, if terrorism is now the euphemism for Muslim, is that how it's been reframed?
Yep. Just the same way as over here in the States, anyone involved in activities such as we engage in every week, we are, according to Department of Homeland Security, domestic extremists.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's legit. That's how they look at it. It's like, what?
But to me, a domestic extremist sounds like a really good cleaner.
That was just what I was thinking. I was thinking like a housewife with OCD or something.
Yeah.
You can't put your coffee cup down anywhere in case it makes a ring.
Yeah. Coaster!
Yeah. Don't walk on the carpet, you'll make footprints.
Shoes off.
I've just hoovered it. Yeah, pretty odd.
So you know, in that respect, I don't mean mine being a domestic extremist.
Yeah, in that sense, yeah. I've just been reading, actually. Go on.
Yep. Go on. No, you
go on. I was just going to waffle, but you go on.
Okay, well, I've got a story. So, yesterday, on the East Coast, apparently there was like a massive denial of service attack on various parts of the internet websites, Amazon, Netflix, Twitter, etc. all were outed. But there's a story here on the BBC saying how it, within this denial of service attack, the Internet of Things was utilised, in that all these smart devices were turned into weapons carry out, you know, to act as maybe buffering or, you know, actually sending
surveillance.
Out the various, yeah. So I thought that was
And it was more than just the East Coast. It was nationwide. It just started on the East Coast for a couple hours till they get it fixed. Then it was the West Coast and then the Midwest. So, I mean, it was huge. It was huge.
It's funny how it's been reported here. And what is the Daily Star, which is a really dreadful publication over here. Well, in its headline, it says, some of the world's most crucial websites, Twitter, Amazon, Netflix, eBay, Spotify, were hit today by a cyber attack. Yeah, they're pretty fucking critical, aren't they? If you buy stuff or watch stuff or sell stuff, it's like, fucking hell. Can you not be a bit more dramatic than that? Most crucial websites.
But that's only because they've funneled people down to into these particular websites, and I don't really think, you know, like there was the talk of like them locking down the internet. I think through social media, people have done that job for them, in that they only utilise a very small percentage of what's on the internet.
Right.
And quite a lot, you know, like particularly news websites, quite a lot of them just look auto-generated, in that they'll have like almost like a copy and pasted section from some sort of mainstream site. But then it is just like either loads of adverts or just loads of clickbait news stories.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're obviously like ad, you know, like you know, sort of Google ads, that the sites would get, that's a money generating thing for the site. So the stories are the least important bit of the websites.
An interesting clickbait that happened yesterday or last night was someone put on YouTube, titled it "New Breaking News: Julian Assange Speaks at the Ecuador Embassy" or something to that effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, as of this morning, had 250,000 views. But what it actually was the speech that Assange did from the balcony there in 2012 when he was granted asylum. So someone put up as if he was stepping out speaking today, but it wasn't. And they got 250,000 views already.
Yeah. Well, we've seen stories that are like ancient history news, like polystyrene dying died 4 years ago. So, anyway. But yeah, I mean, the Assange thing is quite strange. They were even saying that Pamela Anderson had assassinated him. Did you see that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, poisoned him.
Well, it's kind of odd how do you, what do you do to get Pamela Anderson to deliver you a vegan sandwich? Yeah. How does that work?
I know, yeah. And Jan Irvin said, yeah, she has assassinated him by fucking not giving him meat to eat. That was quite funny. It's a slow death, but he's still alive and well, as far as I know, yeah. Does anyone else have any different?
He hasn't had seen a photograph of him holding a little something he had written. I can't recall what it said on it now. But, you know, this was supposed to have been proof that, you know, since the internet was cut for him at the embassy, that, you know, he was alive and well, but who knows? I mean, this is all, I mean, WikiLeaks is still putting out the documents. So, you know, obviously he's not the only guy who's, you know, getting these things done.
I thought there was a team.
They had a big bunker up in Sweden, didn't they? Or somewhere.
Couldn't tell you. Don't know.
Couldn't tell you, yeah.
And, you know, WikiLeaks isn't just him.
From this Swami's point of view, it's just amazing how that, you know, no one within the democratic system or machine will even address whether, you know, these documents are legit or not. They've not made one effort to say they're not legit. This is all made up. They're just saying Russia did it. Putin did it. Actually, Russia and Putin were the most frequently mentioned words in the three presidential debates.
How did the last one go? I watched the SNL take on it, which I'm sure was funnier than the real McCoy. Alec Baldwin's Trump is rather funny.
Well, they were both the next day, or the next night, rather, sitting on either side of the cardinal of New York City diocese. Don't know his name, but at this huge charity event, he was sitting right between them both. And this is a huge yearly fundraising event for underprivileged kids and stuff. And
that's a really good
It was called the Al Smith.
Both of them.
It was strange.
Well, it's strange that they were both sat so close to each other. But then again,
it's a usual thing, though, isn't it? It's an annual thing when there's a presidential race that both candidates go there and they chill out for the night together.
I wouldn't call Donald Trump. Well, Hillary's here pretending not to hate Catholics.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it was funny because Trump actually got booed the folks at the event, and it was like, whoa, it was just very odd to see that. Very odd.
Yeah, but then how much support was that in New York?
Yeah, yeah.
So
annual event.
I know, but how much support do you really think that he's got in New York? That is pretty much Hillary's domain, isn't it, really? She was like senator for New York, wasn't she?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you whether New York is considered a blue state or a red state. Red states are Republican and blue states are Democrat.
But
primarily.
Go ahead,
Tom.
Oh, Steve just asked, is Trump a New Yorker?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. New York.
You can tell he's
Is Trump Tower in New York, York then?
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very nice to Macy's, isn't it? Isn't it?
Mm. Couldn't tell you about that, but yes, Trump Tower's in New York City.
So I suppose that could be a mixed bag. But don't you think in this particular election, the emphasis has been less on Republican Democrat and more on the personalities of each of their candidates.
Yeah.
It's not really been about Republican, because I mean the Republicans have almost denounced Trump. So he's almost
the guys who set up 9/11 and you know, invading Iraq and Afghanistan, all those guys have signed up for Hillary.
Which is a bit odd, isn't it?
Well, because they're all playing on the same team.
They know they've got a better chance of war with Hillary. Therefore, bucks in the bank.
A better chance of business.
Really, Trump is running as an independent, isn't he?
Pretty much.
Yeah. He just had to be in one of the major parties. Same with Bernie. Bernie's an independent. But he went into the Democrat because that was the better chance and closer to his, opinions and such.
Have you seen any of these two particular independents running as well? Have you seen either of those?
The Joe Stair?
Yeah.
Well, there's Dr. Jill Stein, who's running for the Green Party. No, she's the Green Party candidate. And then there's Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, who is the Libertarian Party candidate.
Yeah, I think you might have been him. He was, third party candidates.
Right.
He was on some show, pundit show, pundit show, and they were asking him, what would you, if you became president, what would you do about Aleppo? And he was like, Aleppo what? He like had no idea where the fuck Aleppo was.
Not a good start there. Talking about Aleppo. I've got a little piece that I'd like to, it's not so much a bong as just something I'd like to bring people's attention to.
Cool.
Okay. This is an article in the excellent UK column. I would advise everyone to look up UK column on their computers and have a little look around the what they have to offer, the articles and everything. This particular article is in the media section. And it's about media action, the BBC media action, which, like all these things, kind of sets itself up as a charity. And it says that its mission is to inform, connect and empower people around the world, which, of course, you know, sounds great, doesn't it? You know, they all do this kind of thing, don't they? That's what charities do. They try and make out that they're doing some kind of good business. Maybe business is the wrong word, although it is the right word. But that they are benevolent and that they're doing good work. So they say that they are this. They're funded most. Let's have a look. The charity. Offshoot of the BBC is funded to the tune of 29.5 million, or at least it was in 2012, and most of it comes from the British government, the EU, the US State Department, interestingly, UN and Dutch government. So there we have the vested interests behind BBC Media Action. And what does Media Action do? Well, Media Action goes out to other countries and supposedly makes programs for them that are going to be the sort of programs that people in those other countries want to watch. But what it doesn't tell you is that it is actually, what it really is
propaganda.
It's propaganda and subversion. And we, oh, let me see if I can build this up a little bit before I get to the interesting bit. So it's interesting that Media Action. So it's interesting that they're active in unstable countries worldwide, and that they specialize in governance and rights. And they operate in the Middle East, former Soviet Union, and Europe. They're going into foreign countries, and what they do a lot of the time is they will be setting up soap operas, and of course the content of those soap operas will be, women saying they don't want to wear the jihad. And, there'll be a whole kind of thing around this guy, just kind of planting seeds to kind of tell people, don't wear the jihad, or whatever it happens to be. You know, it could be something else. It could be, they'll show footage of someone going on a demonstration or something, perhaps in a country where demonstrations aren't the usual kind of thing. So, they kind of planting the seeds to kind of get people into this kind of thing. Now, we're talking about Syria and everything that's been going on in Syria over the years. Now, where are we now? We are in 2016, and we look at the state of Syria at the moment, and we're thinking that actually it's all a bit of a mess. Well, BBC Media Action has been working in Syria since 2004. And there's an interesting quote by Juliet Harkin, who is the former BBC Media Action project manager and an expert, apparently, on Syria states. And this is a quote from her. She says, "We," meaning BBC Media Action, "worked in 2004 with individuals within Syria," that's in brackets, "in the Syrian ministry, who wanted to change and tried to get them to be the drivers of that." That's an interesting word, isn't it? So they're trying to drive change in that country,
right,
and help people, help. So all media development work that has been done within Syria has, in my opinion, been predicated upon this idea that there can be change from within. You have an authoritarian regime, and you find those, and you find who the reformers are within that regime and work with them. So what she's saying actually is that you have an elected government, which is what actually they do have in Syria.
Right. Yeah. 87% of the voters put Assad.
Yeah, there is opposition to Assad. Fair enough. Okay. So. But there is a structure there which that country works within, they're not a dictatorship.
No, and they're not a theocratic. They're not a religious, like
and
Iran.
And yet here is this woman who is saying that the BBC through Media Action are going to go into that country and find the people who, want to change, and they're going to work with them to try and change it. They're going to—that's subversion. Mm-hmm. Going into a foreign country
like Libya,
and working with the people there to try and change it. It's put excellently here in their own words. Media Action is a Trojan horse which works against governments of independent nation states, Who are they to decide which regimes are acceptable and which are not? Exactly. The people of those countries decide whether it be for the good or the bad, but they decide themselves and they work it out for themselves. They don't need the BBC going in there subversively and working, you know, with agitators in the country quietly and behind closed doors and causing problems. So here we have everything that's going on in Syria at the moment, and we see who was, you know, causing a lot of the disruption in that country. BBC, through BBC Media Action, supposedly a charity that does good work.
And
so I would encourage people.
From your who was funding them, that sounds like pretty much the same people that were and are funding the White Helmets, who are another of the
stirring up, you know, the trouble
in the same bracket as this company that you're talking about. I'm sure some of the people who actually paid the license fee, I'm sure some of that money will be going to fund this subversive.
Completely.
I mean, who are the BBC?
It's exactly what the license fee goes towards.
Who are the BBC to be going into country? I mean, they're supposed to be like a broadcaster in the just
right,
in
a
the
journalistic.
Yeah, surely they should be going in those countries and coming back with footage that they've made and showing us, not going into those countries and making films will kind of bring a Western point of view or, you know, push Western ideologies to people in their own countries.
That's what is strange about Syria, is that they already had a democracy.
They already had a culture and everything as well.
Yes.
You know,
and
I mean,
none of the Arabic countries run their governmental organizations like we do. You know, but they've got their own systems. Leave them alone. Let them do
that
what
is,
they need to do.
That's what makes a wonderful world, isn't it? That you have all kinds of everything. And some people run things like this, and some people run things like that, and some people run things like the other, and some like this, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, God knows we're constantly being bombarded in this country with, equal rights for this and equal rights for that. But yet when it comes to actually around the world having fabulous cultures to draw on, they're constantly trying to kind of flatten cultures, even in our own country.
Well, that's the sorrow.
It all has to be kind of just a homogenous blur. Like in this country, we have some quite kind of odd, very, centuries old traditions, like rolling a cheese down a hill and people chasing after it, or, you know, strange things like this. There'll be, just these really old sort of traditional games and things. I think we might have spoken about this before, but a lot of them are being made illegal or one way or another, for health and safety and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, health and safety issues, that's usually the big one that they use. They can't do the whatever strange thing it was because it's too dangerous now. And it's the backbone of a society. That's where your roots come from. It's like knowing
their
who
culture.
Your grandparents were, you know? Knowing where you came from. You often find with people who were adopted, they need to kind of try and find out something about their parents, where they came from. It gives some kind of closure on things. And so if you don't know where you've come from, you're just kind of floating around in space like, oh, right, well, just tell me who I am now then. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to wipe out anything with a reference point to where cultures have come from and how societies have been developed and go, no, this is the new society, this is the new thing. And, you know, that's why they're trying to get into all these, you know, the Arab countries, and they'll take the things from the Arab countries that they want, and keep those, like beheading people or I don't know, certain hardcore kind of elements, but they'll, you know, take away the humanity of things. And I mean, now, you know, you go into a McDonald's or a shopping mall in one country, it will be exactly the same as one in another, or pretty much the same, you know.
With the same,
things might be a bit more kind of hot and spicy if you go to somewhere, you know, like
The only difference is the currency you pay.
Thailand or something. They might have a chili burger. I don't know. No, it isn't, is it? No, it's all the same. The horrible, homogenous stuff.
The only difference
stuff.
Is the currency you pay in.
Yeah, and they want
for a while
make that same while, as well, don't they? Yeah.
Did y'all hear that in one of the Podesta package leaks that WikiLeaks put out had George Soros's phone number in it?
Soros.
Bet you
you'd
that ain't the number now.
Yeah,
well, I would imagine people from around the world that want to hassle him. You know?
Hey, yeah. George, can I? I've got a pressure group I need funding.
Yeah.
It's called Fuck George Soros.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the couple now. You can get that one going.
Yeah.
Because likes to be in
so
control.
Did you,
the opposition as well. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd just like to point
everyone in the direction of UK column and that particular article. Sorry. Go on.
And also just check out everything else that they do. The Daily Show at 1 p.m. GMT
yep.
the week.
Absolutely
really
excellent.
Good.
Yep.
And the, if anybody hasn't seen the one from earlier on, was it maybe about August? With Vanessa and Mike that they did.
I think
that was a particularly good one.
That was late August, early September. Yeah. Might have been, I couldn't say the date. But it's up on YouTube. If you just Google Vanessa Beely, UK column, everything she's done on YouTube.
How do you spell her last name?
B-E-E-L-E-Y.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. She deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. Will that bring a link
definitely.
Into, or have we talked about that?
Yeah, old Bobby Dylan.
We didn't because we weren't on air last week, were we? So, the fact that the White Helmets didn't get the Nobel Peace Prize
was very
good.
Quite
a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Dylan got one, though, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
But they can't find him. He hasn't responded yet.
He's just going, nah, fuck it. Don't want it.
Yeah.
He doesn't really,
I ain't got room.
Well, he doesn't really take awards, does he? He's like, because have you ever heard of Donovan?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a documentary when he tours the UK in 1966, I believe. And he gets given an award over here, and he just give this to Donovan. So maybe he'll give his Nobel Prize for literature to Donovan.
Understand that his Bob Dylan's official website has acknowledged that he's been awarded Nobel Prize, but he has not. Nobody's gotten a hold of him, and he's not made any efforts to get a hold of anybody else.
They've since removed that comment as well from his website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Been removed from the website, yeah. A reference to the prize was removed from Dylan's website last week. It's still not known. Travel to Stockton to see the prize on the 10th of December. But if he does not, the ceremony marks his career will go as planned. So they're going to give him it whether he wants it or not.
just getting back to the white helmet. So the prize fund is £1 million, isn't it? And almost straight after they didn't get the prize, they'd set up like some sort of Kickstarter get the funds, and I think they did actually manage to get that. So they sort of bypassed the whole thing. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
I suppose that the only thing that they've lost out on is the sort of the prestige that would have. But I mean, how much prestige should we really take in any of the Nobel, committee when, they've given it to fucking Henry Kissinger and
Obama.
And Obama.
Anything yet? Yeah.
ever since he was given that award as well, he's been constantly at war. It's fucking unbelievable, isn't it? Fucking mental.
Longest war in the history of the United States still going on in Afghanistan.
Oh.
Yeah.
My God.
Well,
Which didn't have anything to do with anything.
No, no. Yeah. Well, a pipeline. And heroin and fucking the little mineral that makes your iPhone work.
Yeah.
Still don't remember.
Yeah,
but they're definitely digging it out of the fucking mountains over there. I read somewhere once that that one mountain's completely gone now. It's called, for instance, the Seven Peaks Mountain. Now it's only Six Peaks.
do you think that that was the that's how Osama bin Laden was able to orchestrate anything from the cave, was that he just had like such a fucking great signal that because he was just surrounded by this mineral. best broadband from the cave.
When you bring it out though and refine it, it just becomes completely toxic, doesn't it? That's the thing that's in phones that makes them like really dangerous to recycle because of this mineral that they take out and refine.
So not only,
except for the Samsung Note 7 that kept blowing up. Can't even take one on an airplane now, not even in your luggage.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it was made from the stuff that Nobel's famous for in the first place.
Dynamite, right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
Do you think that was maybe designed to maybe go off in a plane that was already in the air, and sort of say it was some sort of bomber. If that sort of Mission Impossible, this phone will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Feature
is
in phones, then the potential that even if it's switched off, we'll not be able to take phones on planes. And then people will. Because people are so attached to the phones, they'll just stop flying.
Well, your fucking phone is your ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you just download it to your app. I did it. You can believe it. I was the guy sort of going, "How'd you do it, mate?" Well, you got to turn the fucking thing on first, so. This really camp guy grabbed it off me and went, "Oh, give me that." You know, it got me through. It was like. old guy who doesn't know anything. Sorry.
Because there wasn't a child handy at the time, but
yeah.
Yeah, I was No, I was on my own, yeah. I was travelling solo.
My phone doesn't even do any shit like that. Mate, your phone doesn't even take photographs. That's how old it is.
That's got a torch, though.
Old school. Your phone actually just does a phone.
It's just a phone. Oh, and a torch.
And a calculator.
And a calculator. And you can play kind of like kind of games
on
it.
Snake,
yeah.
Snake's hilarious, isn't it?
I've never played it. Never played any of the games on my phone. It's a phone! What do I want to play games on it for?
Yeah, but Snake's quite hard.
Whereas like smartphones... Smartphones are basically the monolith how in your pocket, aren't they, really? GPS, computer.
Except you're not evolving when you touch it.
It's a total Star Trek and in one thing. It won't be long before you can beam yourself up with it. Yeah, it's pretty mad. Pretty mad. I've got some Agenda 21-related stuff.
Cool.
It's quite an interesting one from the French government this week. Have announced that they're dropping plans to introduce a carbon tax in France. And when you sort of read through the little sort of bit of blurb, it basically pans out that they've had to shut down quite a lot of their nuclear reactors recently. And they're worried about their securing their energy supply. So in the coming years, they're obviously going to have to sort of kickstart some gas-powered and coal-powered electricity generating capabilities, so they're not going to bother with a fucking carbon tax then, because it's going to cost them mutual euros. So isn't that convenient? You can just drop it if you're because France were the leaders in carbon-free electricity, because there were so many nuclear sort of things on the go. It's like EDF who supplies us around here. Is that who you get, Nick? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a state-owned power company in France.
It's Energy de France. That's what it stands for.
Energy de France. Is it not Energy Department France? No. Or Energy.
Well, same thing.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. They could just like say, "Oh well, we won't bother taking part in this world fucking like consensus."
Well, that's. That's just like America not signing up to the International Criminal Court. I think South Africa now want out of that. We're apparently trying to get out of the European Union. there's always outs. No one's gonna. Even the people that think they're in charge are all at each other's throats, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
So,
I don't think the French are kind of going out because of like public opinion. I think it's just because they've gone, the old nuclear power stations aren't really going to hack it, so we might have to just spark up the coal ones for a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to sort of...
So they're realising that they are going to have to go back to using the coal-powered power stations at some point, and they just don't want to have to pay the carbon tax on them. So,
of our French friends are looking forward to a Fukushima type event in their country, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we've just legalized fracking in this country again.
Really?
Well, we haven't. It was never illegal, was it?
Well,
but they've just given the license.
They've just given granted license to Lancashire. That was like
Lancashire.
Basically that's going to start in the new year, so tremors are go around here, because there were already fucking like earthquakes. For never had earthquakes in Lancashire before because of fracking.
It's definitely going to cause problems.
Well, it was that way here in the state of Oklahoma. No one had ever heard of an earthquake until the fracking got going, and now they're having them several times a day.
Yeah.
Not great big ones, but there was recently a 5.6. in the fracking areas near a fracking well. So, I mean, this is not good. And throw this out again, just as a mention. Right. And the state of Florida, which is getting ready to boom with fracking activity, has upped the allowable amount of cancer-causing benzene and various other things that can be in your water supply now, so that the fracking will not. It's just ridiculous.
Which is, you know, and it's interesting that France is saying, let's not bother with the carbon tax because we might just be using more of our coal-powered power stations, because it just goes to show that actually they know that, or that, you know, how does that fit in with this supposed the Earth is going to die if we keep using carbon fuel?
Climate change meeting in Paris last December, just after the attacks, where basically they got the sympathy vote to get that through, and now they're reneging on it. How French.
Yeah. But it just shows how kind of unurgent any kind of things about
climate change is a scam.
About CO2 causing climate change. It just shows, you know, that they're willing to kind of just roll with things economically rather than. And I thought that actually the people who were predicting kind of huge kind of devastation around the world by now due to global warming, the people that were putting these scare stories out 10, 15 years ago, it hasn't really manifest. So
Al Gore, cough, cough, cough.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Who, by the way, for anyone who followed what happened after the Trump-Clinton final debate, when Trump said he might not just accept and concede if he loses the election, well, that is his legal right, and it is one that Al Gore used. Who was Bill Clinton's vice president. He fought and went to court. That's why we know what a hanging chad is now.
Yeah.
But it was so strange to see the press over here just going berserk over the fact that, you know, Trump said, I won't just accept and concede because the election's going to be stolen. It's a rigged system. Here, just this morning, saw a story here in Illinois where a guy running for state representative up in Chicago went to the voting booth because early voting has started over here this week. And every time when he went to vote for himself, it showed up as the opposite is what showed up, and he had to contact the officials and show them that he was Republican, so he was voting straight Republican, and it was all coming out as Democrat on the electronic voting machine.
Those things are just dreadful, aren't they? They're worse than the self-service tools in shops.
Well, folks are recommending that people take pictures.
Unexpected vote on.
Yeah. Unexpected vote in voting area.
Do you wish to continue?
Are you sure you wanted to vote Trump? Vote. I asked again. We're going to say that you voted Clinton anyway.
Yeah, is that correct? Yeah, how bizarre. So, have we got any kind of funny little stories to finish with?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
I've just spotted one.
Oh, actually, real quick. I've got one I want to talk about as well.
There's a, it's from the BBC News page, the health section. It's Tasmanian devil's milk that fights superbugs. I just thought that was a brilliant headline, and it's basically.
I'm sorry, I'm getting this visual of trying to milk a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Not real sure they'll be cooperative.
See how that just when you say Tasmanian devil, instead of the sort of little rodent things, you immediately think of that thing. It goes.
Right. Bugs of yeah.
They're quite big. They're quite big. We saw some in Australia.
Yeah, that's nothing. I've ever seen one.
You don't want to be grabbing the teats of a Tasmanian devil in any situation. That's just leave it alone.
Experts believe the devils evolved this cocktail to help their young grow stronger. The milk.
I think every mammal actually develops that trait to make their young grow stronger.
Marsupials' milk contains important peptides that appear to be able to kill hard-to-threat infections, including MRSA.
That's just like mother's milk, isn't it? Yeah. Is it the colostrum, the first milk that comes from breastfeeding? Yeah, it has all those properties. I don't know. My funny story to end. Oh, sorry, go on, Nick.
Well, it isn't necessarily a funny story. Well, it's a funny, not necessarily ha-ha, but in maybe another way. Another probe sent to Mars has mysteriously vanished. Now saying that it probably crashed. It probably crashed and may have exploded. So
it was shot down.
Or they just couldn't make it to Devon Island.
It looks like a fucking 70s one as well, doesn't it? They couldn't get like a modern one. It looks like one
I
of those.
That's an artist's impression.
No, that's a picture. That's a picture.
Well, who took the picture?
Stanley Kubrick.
My funny story to end is that while we've been off air a couple of weeks ago, there was an incident happened I was just driving home and I heard on the radio that a gorilla had escaped from London Zoo. And I came home and shared that story with you, didn't I? Because the friend that was round here actually works got a studio just by London Zoo. And so we were just having a little laugh about that. And so sure enough, in the news the next day, it was all coming out that this gorilla had escaped. There were pictures in the news of this gorilla looking quite angry and saying these are pictures of the gorilla moments before it was discovered that he'd escaped from his enclosure. And I was thinking like, oh, you know, did he get angry and get out sort of thing? But it turns out that... Now, we've found the story in the paper this week is that actually what he did was a keeper hadn't locked the door that goes into like the storeroom area. And so he'd just made his way in there and had just glugged back like four times the amount of blackcurrant
undiluted blackcurrant cordial
blackcurrant cordial undiluted so he was probably getting high on the E numbers there. And he was just having a great time in the storeroom there. He wasn't kind of wandering around doing a King Kong.
Like any fucking normal person would do.
He just went to the drugstore, really.
So it's not like Harambe. It was the gorilla actually doing the shots.
Yeah. And they kind of, and apparently his favorite keeper was there, or like someone who was very familiar with the gorilla. and was keeping him calm, and they tranquilized him and then put him back into like the safe area where he should be. But I just thought that was hilarious that the newspapers were making this big thing about like some kind of chest beating gorilla silverback had escaped and was terrorizing London.
Technically, the gorilla did escape.
And that the zoo was on lockdown. And actually, all it was that he just rather cleverly been able to make his way into the storeroom to get extra
supplies.
Probably
does it every day, and they were just like. Oh,
did you see? Did you see that the next morning, the BBC got their slides slightly wrong.
Nicola Sturgeon.
They were introducing Nicola Sturgeon, and they had a picture of the gorilla.
Yeah. Funny headline. Just the headline here. Failure to find a sexual partner is now a disability, says World Health Organization.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Weren't they talking about, because of that, people could have the right to get fertility treatment on the NHS?
Yeah.
There was.
What, to have children independent of any partners?
Yeah. What? So they just get like a surrogate or a sperm donor. One of the two, whichever one. I mean, that's taking it to the fucking extreme, really, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. But that's our friends at the World Health Organization. Yeah. Yep.
Actually, anybody can find a partner. Just got to, you know, not be looking for the world.
It's almost like the the odd film with Colin Farrell in, where he gets sent to a hotel and if they don't find a partner, they get transformed into their favorite animal.
Oh yeah, or something. Yeah. Because actually, it's not difficult, really. So long as you've got, you know, things in common pretty much, then, and so long as they're not kind of abusive in a severe way, then you're that's
you're all right.
That's anybody. You got to make it work. So it's like any kind of relationship, whether it be like, you know, you can work with people who you don't necessarily like, but you work at kind of just getting on with them, and in a relationship you're with somebody who hopefully you do actually like, and you just work at getting on with them, which can be have its challenges, but that's life's rich pageant, isn't it, you know?
Unless, of course, you're a millennial and someone you work with is wearing a National Rifle Association hat and it triggers you.
Well, yeah, they're wearing the wrong costume at Halloween and... I saw a pumpkin. Oh!
Now I need counseling. They do. They set this up. 24/7 counseling available. If you get upset on the university campus about someone else's life, what?
I know. Do you know what? I understand that there are real things that people need counseling about when they're having stress around, you know, going through their studies, or if, you know, there's been a bereavement in the family and you're trying to get through your studies, or I don't know, there can be serious genuine things that can be really helped by going to a counselor, having someone trusted to talk to. But if it's just because you got upset...
If you saw someone wearing a Hillary for Prison 2016 T-shirt...
Yeah.
You shouldn't need counseling. Come on.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, that we have like 20 seconds before the broadcast ends.
Bye-bye.
See you all
again for listening to this.
Next week. So instead of a tune... We've just got a bond.
Goodbye for now.
Om.